So last week, we welcomed visitors from our Unitarian Partner Church in Transylvania. They serve two congregations in Transylvania, and therefore they have two partner church relationships. And this morning, as I said earlier, they are at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, a congregation of about 130 adults and 60 children. Monday, they'll fly back here to Florida, and next Sunday, both ministers, Erica and Levante, will speak. As a Unitarian Universalist minister, I see one of my responsibilities as teaching the congregations I serve about the history of our religious movement. When it comes to the Unitarian half of our faith, this visit by our partners from Europe teaches us that Unitarianism as an institutional church started almost exactly 450 years ago in January of 1568 in Transylvania. In my experience, an awareness that we are part of what has come before us and that we are part of what will come after us helps calm the anxiety and the urgency we sometimes feel about the present moment. Today, the Unitarians in Transylvania believe that Jesus was a human being and not God. They consider themselves Christians because they try their best to follow the teachings of Jesus. To teach their children, the Transylvania Unitarians have created a Hungarian Unitarian Catechism. This is a 56-page summary of the church's beliefs in the form of questions followed by answers. For example, the Hungarian Unitarian Catechism asks the question, "How do we know that God exists?" And it gives this answer. Whether we look to the universe and its order, or to ourselves and our talents, we obtain the conviction that there exists one God who created, maintains, and manages everything. Now, American Unitarian Universalists do not have an official 56-page catechism, which makes it difficult to say what we are or what we believe about God. Back in 1961, when the Unitarians and the Universalists merged, they created their bylaws, and they began the bylaws with a statement of purpose. And one of the purposes in 1961 was, quote, "to cherish and spread the universal truths taught by the great prophets and teachers of humanity in every age and tradition, immemorially summarized in the Judeo-Christian heritage as love of God and love of man." In 1978, a group of women came together and said, what about us? And a commission was established to rewrite the statement of purpose in our bylaws. I was an active Unitarian all my life, and frankly, I don't think I ever heard the bylaw purposes quoted in a worship service in the 1960s or 70s. It was pretty much ignored. But in 1978, some folks reading carefully noticed the sexist language and said, we need to rewrite this. So a commission was established. And by the mid-1980s, a new statement was created to replace the old sexist language. The 1980 statement was divided into two parts. First, the seven principles. And we say one of those principles almost every Sunday here in this congregation as our opening words. This morning we chose the last one about the interdependent web. But these were followed by references to the living traditions we share. And this was a summary of historical influences on Unitarian Universalism. One living tradition is Jewish and Christian teachings, which call us to respond to God's love by loving our neighbors as ourselves. Now, this was important to the theists who were voting on this back in the mid-1980s, that the word God appears somewhere in either the first seven principles or in the purposes that appeared later. Over the 40 years that I have served as a minister, people have often asked me questions about inclusion. Someone might ask me, I'm a Christian. Am I welcome in this congregation? Someone else might say, I worked in a Republican White House on Barbara Bush's staff. This is a real question I received once. Am I welcome in this church? These are serious questions. We all have memories in our own lives of times when we have heard the message that we are not welcome. Rejection can be very painful. It can make us angry. Rejection is something that most of us never forget. So this month, as we become more aware of Unitarians' theist roots in Europe, some of you might be wondering, I'm an atheist. If the original meaning of the word Unitarian is believer in one God, is there really a place for me in this church? I answer this question by saying yes. Yes, you are welcome in this congregation. About 20% of our membership, at least 20% of our membership, are atheists. About 10% of our membership identify as Unitarian Universalist Christians. Several members of our congregation quietly identify as Republicans. And they are welcome in this church. We may even have an atheist Republican. Or a Christian Democrat. Or even an agnostic humanist independent. One thing that makes this an interesting place to be is our diversity. So our Transylvanian heritage is not just about the Unitarian belief that Jesus was a great human being but not God. It is also about the way we do religion. This heritage is summarized in three words: freedom, reason, and tolerance. Freedom to explore religious ideas without the fear of book burnings, or being sent to prison, or being executed. Reason. Reason to ask logical questions about statements of faith and to test statements of faith by using the best scientific methods. And tolerance. Someone may believe something that we are pretty sure is not true. For example, we're pretty sure that Mary was not a virgin. We're pretty sure that wine and bread do not really turn into the blood and the flesh of Jesus. However, people who believe these things are our fellow human beings. And tolerance means treating them with love and not insulting or ridiculing their beliefs. Tolerance is the willingness to treat with respect opinions or behavior with which we do not agree. One way I try to encourage this tolerance in this congregation is to periodically remind you that in a Unitarian Universalist church, a minister's view is only his or her opinion. What I say in a sermon, what I say in the church newsletter, these are only my thoughts. They are not the official opinion of this church. You are free to agree or disagree with me. When you join this congregation, we have no theological creed, no interpretation of Scripture that we require you to sign in order to be a member. So in this room each Sunday, there are theists and agnostics and atheists, and you're all welcome. You're all encouraged to treat each other with respect. A belief in God is not a requirement of membership. Being an atheist in America is not easy. Only about 3% of Americans, when they are surveyed, say they are atheists. Although there's one study that suggests that fearing the hostility of theists, many atheists are afraid to answer the survey question honestly. This study says that the real number of atheists in America is more like 26%, not 3%. Atheists remain one of the country's most disliked religious groups. 69% of Americans say a belief in God is an important part of being an American. Only 30% of Americans have a positive view of atheists. More than half of Americans believe atheists should not be allowed to put up public displays that celebrate their beliefs. More than one-third of Americans want to ban atheists from becoming president. One-third of Americans believe atheists should be denied the opportunity to teach in public schools. One-third do not believe atheists should be allowed to hold public rallies. In school, the government expects the children to pledge allegiance to one nation under God. Atheists must sit through invocations at public meetings or sit silently as grace is spoken before a meal. On our money, all of us see the words, "In God we trust." "The stakes are high," said one person who was raised Christian but is now an atheist. "Do I want to be supported by my family and friends, or am I going to risk being kicked out of my family, out of clubs, out of organizations?" It is tempting just to avoid the whole issue. So many atheists hide their beliefs from friends and family members out of concerns that they would disapprove. Well, in contrast to the world outside these doors, I hope that people who do not believe in God feel welcome, welcome in this room. One of my favorite quotations from Thomas Jefferson appeared in a letter that he wrote to his nephew in 1787. Jefferson said, "Question with boldness even the existence of God, because if there be one, he must more approve of the homage of reason than of blindfold fear." Personally, I hope all of you follow Jefferson's advice and question with boldness even the existence of God. I hope that whatever conclusion you come to at the end of your bold questions, that you still feel welcome in this space. This is how Unitarian Universalists differ from other religions. We do not require you to believe in God. We do, however, expect you to treat each other with tolerance, with respect, with love. Of course, we are an independent congregation. No one in Boston dictates to us how to be. We don't have to be this way. We could resolve the issue about the existence of God once and for all. We would do this by calling a congregational meeting, and we could vote on whether or not God exists. If a majority voted that God does exist, we could create a statement of belief to that effect, and we could require that everyone sign that statement to stay as a member of the church. Or, on the other hand, if a majority voted that God does not exist, we could encourage the theists among us to leave. Or perhaps the agnostics would win. We could chase out both the theists and the atheists, and we could change our name to the First Agnostic Congregation of Sarasota. We could do this under congregational polity, but in my role as your minister, I advise against it. Not only is it inconsistent with the traditional practice of American, Unitarian, and Universalist congregations, I think it would create a congregation that would be far less interesting. I find it more stimulating to have in this place atheists, theists, and agnostics. I learn from all three perspectives. This diversity, however, does raise questions when it comes to leading worship services. On the weeks that I am leading the Sunday service, I select the readings. Besides our hymnal, I have on my computer a collection of hundreds of readings for worship written by Unitarian and Universalist clergy. I use the find, F-I-N-D, find feature on my word processor to search for appropriate words. In the section called Calls to Worship, only one reading of all the ones I have on my computer, only one uses the word atheist. The word God appears in 24 of the readings. However, 275 of the call to worship readings do not mention God. Put another way, in an anthology of calls to worship written by more than 200 Unitarian and Universalist ministers, only 7% of the readings refer to God. I suspect this reflects the desire of our ministers to use language that is inclusive of all of us in the congregation, both theist and non-theist. We want theists, atheists, and agnostics to feel welcome in our worship. Each week when I select a reading, I think of all of you. I imagine you in my mind, and I try to imagine how you will react to the words. Because of our diversity, sometimes a reading or a hymn will include the word God, and other Sundays will have an entire service without the word God ever being spoken. Now, if part of a worship service is not exactly what you would have chosen, I invite you to stop for a moment, to take a breath, to relax, and to remember it may be exactly what speaks to somebody else. Meaningful worship in a theologically diverse community comes through tolerance. Our religious roots go back to a meeting in Torda, Transylvania in January of 1568, almost exactly 450 years ago, when a group of people proclaimed freedom, reason, and tolerance in religion. Today we continue that tradition in this church. What matters here is the quality of the relationships that we have together. And the word tolerance is key. Beyond our families, the most important organization in our lives should be a religious community. I define a religious community as a fellowship of people who cherish, practice, and develop traditions and values concerning the purpose of human life. There may be a few persons who do not need such a community. However, most of us are too easily distracted from the values to which we want to devote ourselves. And of course, we see this every day in the news. It's easy to be tempted, and we need the support of a religious community to keep us true to our values. It gives us support and encouragement. Living up to the ethical rules of honesty, to keeping our promises, and to being kind to others. This community supports us in times of difficulty, such as illness. And it encourages us to practice tolerance of each other, so that at the end of a worship service, theists, agnostics, and atheists can sing together and hold hands.